Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. This nation has an unfortunate association with lynching. That is particularly true of the South, including Mecklenburg County. The Levine Museum of the New South is opening an exhibit examining what was essentially a form of racial terror, and we get a preview of that and a history lesson to boot later in the program. First, though, teachers from across the state and thousands from CMS will be marching on Raleigh tomorrow. It is the second time in 2 years that teachers have taken their concerns to lawmakers. Last year, it was for teacher pay raises and more respect. This year, they're returning with a slate of additional demands. In advance of that march tomorrow, we meet three people attending and participating and sometimes organizing this rally. Amanda Thompson is one of those organizers. She teaches 7th and 8th grade math at Walter G. Byers and is a member of the Executive Board of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are helping to organize teachers in how many different areas?
So I am the Region 3 county organizers, and so I'm helping Union County, Gaston, Roar, and Salisbury, as well as Mecklenburg.
Okay. Justin Parmenter is a 7th grade English teacher at Waddell Language Academy. He and Amanda are part of this organization and part of the two of the people helping to organize this. You just said you work for her, so I'll let you say that.
Right.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And April Johnson is an arts teacher at Tuckasegee Elementary who was named the 2018 Teacher of the Year at CMS.
Hi,
welcome
how you
back
doing?
To you. Good, I'm fine. So, Amanda, last year you had the support of CMS. You had the support of most of the parents, probably not all. Many of them were in your corner. This year you have the support of the system again. Do you also have the support of parents again?
We definitely have the support of all stakeholders, whether they're parents, the students, as well as elected officials, and then community activists. And I see that in last Wednesday we actually did a town hall mm-hmm. at our office, and we had some amazing parents. They're speaking on behalf and saying we support you, we're going to actually get on the bus.
Do you worry, though, that if you continue to have these marches, and maybe you'll have another one next year, and you continue to have them during the school year on school days, that people will start to slide away from you?
Well, I definitely think that we try to do it on the weekend during the summer, and it just wasn't as effective. And the parents know that we're fighting for their kids. So it's not about us at all. And so parents want our students to have the schools they deserve. Mm-hmm. So parents support us. So they're going to be right there with us, helping us.
This is happening, Justin, more and more around the country, not just here. What is going on in the zeitgeist? Have teachers just had enough?
I think it's... What you're seeing is a result of years and years of policies that are not friendly towards public education. And I think as teachers become more empowered and find new strategies for connecting, using social media in various ways, that they're realizing the strength that they have in numbers.
Why do you suppose there are, if you're right, why do you suppose people would put policies in place that are not favorable to education?
That would be a great question for those people. I mean, I think one reason could be that we have people who are elected who don't necessarily share the priorities of the communities that they serve.
What are their priorities?
Well, here in North Carolina, funny you should ask. Here in North Carolina, at the beginning of this year, we had new tax cuts for corporations and individuals kick in, which are depriving us of an additional $900 million in revenue, which could more than cover the cost that it would take to hire all of the support services, psychologists, counselors, et cetera, that we need to get up to national standards. So
how many people are going? How many teachers are going? And is it just teachers, or are other school employees from CMS and other systems around
the
state?
So we're not actually giving out the number. So you'll get the number on May 2nd.
Do you know the number?
We know a number, yes. So what we're doing, we have a link we're sending out everybody. So everyone who's attending is getting the Action Network link, so they're signing up mm-hmm. via that link. But we do know that we have thousands coming from Charlotte. We have actually 5 charter buses, and we currently have 255 people just riding the bus, and people are still driving as well.
Okay. April, what are your colleagues saying about this march. I'm assuming that you're participating. That's why you're here.
Of course, exactly. I mean, you know, no fight is won by sitting on the sidelines at all. And, I mean, there are some colleagues that are going, man, a day off, good. We can catch up on papers and grades and all these things. But even more so, they understand the importance of tomorrow. And that we really, really, really have to speak up for ourselves. And we cannot, you know, talk to children about being citizens of the future and even citizens of today if we, the adults, are not modeling how this process looks for them. And so most of my students understand what we're doing tomorrow, and even more so just the importance of it.
Some segments of our society look at all marches like this, not just teacher marches, but all protests against the government or to encourage the government to change policies as a mob of unruly people who would just want to wreak anarchy on the world. But this is also part of the process, isn't it?
Exactly.
A democratic process.
Exactly. This is part of the democratic process. This is what it means to be an American, for us to exercise our rights to assembly, for free speech, to exercise our right as citizens to demand our government to change. I mean, this is the whole reason why we are who we are. You know, we're not, I mean, I couldn't, another country escapes me right now, but this is why we do what we do. This is the beauty of being an American.
So, Amanda, last year the teachers marched on Raleigh for more pay and more respect. Did you get either?
So I'm going to say that wasn't really our mission to march last year. Our mission was to change policymakers. And you know, in November, we did that. Supermajority change, and that's what we wanted to have happen. This year, we're really going to make sure we're holding those policymakers accountable in the policies they're making.
Well, there's a bill going through the legislature evidently right now, because 30 systems from around the state are closing tomorrow.
33.
Okay. That's right.
To allow their teachers to march in Raleigh. And there's been a proposal written into the budget for next year that would lock school calendars in place at the beginning of the year and forbid local school boards from changing the calendar except in response to bad weather or other crises like that. It's aimed at short-circuiting this kind of a protest. If it passes, would you still march?
Yes.
Yes.
I just think that it's a scare tactic. Yesterday, I actually said, it was a punk move. You're trying to scare us from advocating for ourselves. And, you know, we deserve that right. And so, we will figure out a way. You're never going to shut us up. There's always different ways, as my grandma would say, different ways to scare the cow. We'll figure out how to make it happen.
The respect part of this last year was interesting to me, and I asked if you got it, if you thought you got it. What you told me was that you changed the makeup of the legislature by pricking the conscience of voters who turned some people out and voted some people in. But do you ever interface with these people in Raleigh, these legislators? Do you ever get a chance to actually speak one-on-one with them? And if you do, what is your impression of how they regard you? Do they respect teachers?
We do have plenty of chances to speak one-on-one. Sometimes it varies who's willing to accept the opportunity to speak in person with a teacher. Last year we had, when we were in Raleigh on May 16th, we had a lot of legislators come outside and speak with teachers out standing in the rain. Hmm. And it wasn't a partisan thing either. We had legislators from both parties that were willing to do that. This year, yesterday, the Speaker of the House called an appropriations meeting for all day tomorrow with a short break in the middle. But it was interesting timing that, you know, that's something that maybe could have been handled later in the week. And it just kind of made me wonder if the goal was really to eliminate opportunities for educators. There's going to be thousands of us in Raleigh tomorrow to eliminate the chance that teachers have of interfacing with the legislators that we're coming there to see.
But we don't, can I just jump in?
Please, yeah.
We don't always wait until May 1st and May 16th to communicate with our legislators. Even on Sunday, Joyce Waddell, we were at an event, and Joyce Waddell stood up and said, hey, we have we support our educators, and they're coming to take over the city of Raleigh. And Muhammad also reached out, Senator Jackson. So in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, in this county, we have 16 out of our 17 elected officials who said, you know, I'm going to support some of the asks you guys have filled out. Only person has not has been Dan Bishop, and we try to reach out to him. He has not contacted us back. But out of this, 16 out of 17 is an amazing, you know, statistic. I'm a math person. It's a good number to say we're making some change. And every person running for elective office is talking about how education is the forefront of what they're doing. So, yes, we have gained respect, and they're coming to us to also get support.
Okay. This year, teachers are marching with different requests, several requests.
Yes.
Among them, a $15 minimum wage for all school personnel, a 5% raise for all non-certified staff. What is that? What's a non-certified staff?
A non-certified staff would be someone like a TA, a teacher's assistant.
Okay.
And TAs deserve much more respect than they receive. It's much like the hospital hierarchy. You know, the doctors get all the fame and the nurses grunt and say.
They do all the work.
They do all the work. but underneath the nurse is the CNA.
Okay.
And the CNAs do even dirtier work than the nurses do. And so in education, sometimes we forget and neglect our TAs, and they deserve it because they're not allowed in the building when there's no students there. So over the summer, while teachers are working and preparing, TAs are at home. Or if they're not at home, they're working another job. And so when you think about the fact that...
And why is that? Why are they not allowed in the building if they work there during the school year?
And that is a very good question. Why aren't they?
Is that a CMS policy or a state policy?
Well, I do know that CMS is passing a budget that's going to allow them to have 4 teacher work days, and we're also coming in. So CMS is making a policy to change that if it's approved within a county commissioner.
Yes.
But non-certified also includes our custodians, our secretaries, our building people. So it includes more than just instructional assistants.
So you want this $15 minimum wage increase for all personnel, 5% for all non-certified staff, teachers, and administration, a 5% cost of living adjustment for retirees.
Yes.
Why are teachers concerned about personnel other than themselves?
We can't work without them. You try working without the TAs, it does not happen. Some of the hardest working people in my building are the TAs. And again, this is what I mean about that hierarchy. Yes, as teachers, we deserve our respect and we deserve, but the TAs do too.
Yeah.
They show up, they comfort children just like we comfort children. They wear a multiple of hats just like we do. And to ignore them or to ignore the custodians who keep the buildings clean, who fight to keep the buildings clean, sometimes even despite the condition of the buildings, that's unfair and it's insulting to them as also.
And our association, I'm so sorry, our association, we encompass all educators. So that includes, you know, teachers, instructional assistants, and all ESPs that are associated with education. And I think about the stories that I hear when I talk to my instructional assistants or my custodians, when they say, you know, I work 35 hours a week, I only make $12.72 an hour, I don't have enough to live, I have to work two more jobs, you know,
exactly.
Do DoorDash, work at Belk's just to be able to live, and that's unfair to them, especially when, you know, the state has passed, you know, last year, well, our county has passed this year where they pay their employees at least $15 an hour. So why doesn't our employees also deserve the same thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, just, you know, these employees, I mean, you know, they're the heart of what we do, and it would also include our cafeteria staff, our bus drivers. They build relationships with students, you know, and I just don't see any reason why they should have to work 2 additional jobs and have no time left over to spend time with their own families.
Don't some teachers have to work additional jobs too?
Yes.
Yes. it's a sad day when the manager of the cookout can make more than a teacher. I mean, if you look at a want ad, it said that the manager of the cookout restaurant can make up to $50,000 a year. That's no degree. I think some cook managers of the cookout do actually have business training, but think about that the manager of a fast food restaurant makes more than I do, and I have 2 degrees, and I've taught education for 13 years.
And that speaks to respect.
It does.
That speaks to respect, not just for the individual, but for the profession and what it does in society, which is something I really don't understand. I don't understand. We have to have educated people or we fail as a country. So I don't understand why this has to even be talked about. But we'll talk about it when we come back from the break, because I want to bring up something that Republican Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger has said about you guys, which is was kind of eye-opening to me. So we'll hear about that and get your response to it in a moment. We're here with Amanda Thompson, is helping to organize this march tomorrow in Raleigh. So is Justin Parmenter. April Johnson's a teacher as well, and she's joining us here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah Banky.
And I'm Jen Chaffman.
Our podcast, Teachable Moments, is one of the five finalists in WFAE's Queen City PodQuest, the search for Charlotte's next great podcast.
Learn more about our podcast and find out who will win a podcast development deal with WFAE at the PodQuest Live finale Saturday, May 4th at the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Tickets and information at WFAE.org/QueenCityPodQuest.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with Amanda Thompson, 7th and 8th grade math teacher at Walter G. Byers, board member and organizer of the March Tomorrow, board member of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Education. Justin Parmenter is the 7th grade teacher at Waddell Language Academy, helping to organize this march. And April Johnson will be participating. She's an arts teacher, former teacher of the year at Tuckasegee Elementary School. Republican State Senator and President Pro Tem Phil Berger has blasted the North Carolina Educators Association, or Association of Educators, as, quote, a far-left group that is calling on teachers to strike despite historic increases in teacher pay and education spending under Republican leadership. Two questions. Are you a far-left group, and how do you respond to his comment?
I think Senator Berger is desperate to change the narrative because he senses that the community supports public education being more of a priority in North Carolina's budget. I think polling data reflects that, and he's aware of that.
He says you guys, your organization, keeps changing the goalposts year after year, but that its primary purpose is to mislead the public into thinking Republicans are bad for education.
You know, I think if you ask just about any teacher or teacher advocate in North Carolina what's important to them, electing Democrats wouldn't be in their top 50. Mm-hmm. I think all of them would agree on is that what we want is better outcomes for our students. And there are a lot of policies in place right now which are preventing us from reaching the outcomes that our students deserve and of providing them with the opportunities that we know that they deserve. And so we're here to change those policies.
And you wrote,
it's not about electing a Democrat or Republican or conservatives. Mm-hmm. It's about electing pro-public elected officials. That's all we want.
And so we go through a process. It just happens then that a lot of Republicans seem to be pro-charter and private schools more than public schools, although charter schools are public schools.
The data shows that way. I mean, like, I can't argue what we see as far as in writing or what they're putting out. Mm-hmm. And so until I see differently, that's what I see. But we as an association, we go through a vetting out process. We actually interview every person who wants to run before we endorse them. We go through a vetting out process. And so we ask them, what are your policies? What is your vision? How are you going to carry it out? And so based on that is how we decide who goes on our lovely red apple cards we give out every time election, time comes out.
Yeah. You wrote an open letter, Justin, to students explaining why teachers are striking tomorrow, and in it you wrote about the many things legislators had done in this state to make the teaching profession unattractive. Republicans keep saying that they've raised teacher pay time and time again, so tell me what they have done that have made teaching unattractive.
I'm not sure we have enough time left in the show for me to answer that question, but well, I can tell you that a couple of the goals that we have for tomorrow's day of action are to reinstate retiree health benefits, which were stripped in 2017, so that now for not just for teachers, but for any state employee that retires between when they retire and when they're eligible for Medicare, they have to purchase their own private health insurance. That's for anybody hired after January 1st, 2021. So that's that puts us in a difficult spot when we're trying to recruit teachers.
Okay.
The other one, which is a really big one, is that they took away additional pay for master's degrees. The latest research here in North Carolina shows that when teachers earn a master's degree in their subject area, there's a positive impact on student achievement, student attendance, and also teacher evaluation results. But we've got still people like Phil Berger saying there's no connection between teachers who are working to earn a degree and them getting better at teaching. So two of our goals for tomorrow are to reverse those policy changes. And I think that would go a long way in helping make North Carolina a more attractive state for teachers to work in.
How? How would you do that? How would you change those policies? I mean, how would you make that happen?
Well, if those policies are written, then they can be unwritten.
Right. Are they written?
They are written.
Okay. Teachers going to Raleigh tomorrow want, among the other things that we've talked about, enough school librarians, psychologists, social workers, counselors, nurses, and health professionals to meet national standards. Where do North Carolina schools and where does CMS stand at the moment with all of those different people?
Well, currently, as a state, we are one of those people, support staff, you just said, 1 to 2,000. And the national is 1 to 500 or 1 to 750.
Are you talking about counselors or nurses? Or
just those support personnel as a whole. That's
okay.
What we are right now.
Because Phil Berger, once again, says North Carolina's ratio of one counselor for every 368 students is above the national average of one person for every 455 students, and the American School Counselor Association recommends one counselor for every 250 students. So you're above, according to him, the national average, slightly below the American School Counselor Association average. But you're saying it's way off, way different.
I mean, it's...
Where do your numbers come from?
Well, one of my friends researched it, Justin Parmeter, one of his articles, and I know he does an amazing job of getting statistics. But also within CMS, I can look at a high school and say, you know, some of our counselors have, in high school they have, is one counselor to 350 students. Mm-hmm. Now, CMS as a whole, once again, our budget is trying to reduce that number. So they actually put in their budget to add more counselors and social workers and psychologists. So it is a systemic thing that we're seeing throughout the state.
Because Phil Berger says North Carolina is 19% above the national average. So if you came up with these figures that we're talking about here, Justin, how do we as ordinary citizens who do not follow this very closely ferret out the truth?
You know, I think what Phil Berger is losing sight of, if he ever had sight of it, is that, you know, the other thing is we're talking about is a human issue. And it's numbers are important, and I think it's pretty clear to anybody that we're way below standards in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and in all the other states too. You know, just because we may be slightly better than a neighboring state doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing the right thing for students. But really, what it comes down to is, are we giving our students the resources that they need to be successful?
Yeah.
Youth suicide rates are climbing sharply in North
leading
Carolina.
Cause of death among teenagers, I think. Second leading cause is suicide.
Right, and you know all that educators are saying is we don't have enough support. You know, if we've got a school counselor whose caseload is so large that she doesn't have time for the preventative strategies that she's trained to use, she's doing all, you know, spending all her time doing scheduling or whatever, can't build a relationship with students that could benefit from that, then that's a problem. I think we need to agree that's a problem.
What are you seeing in your class?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think our policymakers need to spend some more time in schools. I think it's, you know, when you're far attached, far removed from mm-hmm. schools, I think that becomes the problem, because then it's easy to say what they're doing over there. Even in an elementary school, the levels of trauma, stress, anxiety, we're seeing things that are unprecedented. I mean,
so it's worse today than it was when you went to school.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Social media has made it, like, I want to say kids have access to everything nowadays.
Exactly.
So I was watching a TV show. I remember growing up, I never saw, you know, somebody getting stabbed or getting shot, but they see it and you see the blood and everything. And our kids see that, you know, and then our kids, because when I was in school, we used to have school counselor lessons. We talked about how to deal with conflict, the proper way. Our counselors don't have time for that. They have to do scheduling. They have to do, you know, other things that require them not being a school counselor. And our kids need that. And so as educators, we become counselors, nurses, you know, everything they need.
Is this problem system-wide, or is it just in lower-income schools?
No, it's system-wide, because again, like I said, we're dealing with this. I'm trying to figure out how to put it. Like, for example, there was a TV show on Netflix. What was the name of the show? 13 Reasons Why.
And since that show has come on, the rate of teen suicide has gone up.
Exactly my point. And so if you're not in a situation, and this isn't just low income, if you're not in a home situation where your parents are available to you, and this information is coming to you from the media, from social media, from TV, the things that you're taking in, as a young person, you're not able to process all these things that are going on around you. And so then this becomes now you're looking at this as a young person and going, is this a viable response to stress? Because there might not be an adult in your life speaking otherwise to you.
Right.
And then who do you turn to for these questions? Because if everyone's talking about it, everyone's glamorizing it, popularizing it, who do you turn to for this stress? You know, I mean, not everyone has a faith community or a family relative. And so there has to be some adult who can be the voice of reason to you and speak to you about healthy responses to stress and trauma.
So what?
And where is the school counselor if we don't have one?
So what is a reasonable ratio of school counselors or psychologists or nurses to students in a school?
So I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I think the recommended ratio for school counselors is 1 to 250. Okay. I think statewide, I think we're somewhere under 400 right now, right. So not that far off. Our ratios for psychologists and social workers are way off. Nurses, I think the recommendation is one per school, but the standard varies based on the needs that particular school yes. population has.
And, of course, a lot of these school shootings that have raised a lot of concern among parents and administrators and teachers and students were perpetrated by people who were mentally unstable. They needed help, and I don't know whether this would have helped them, but they certainly needed help. How do you see that happening? The school system, the school board just said no to more police in elementary schools, but they said they're going to take that money and put it toward counselors and psychologists. Is that going to help?
You also, as it was phrased, they said no to SROs in 25 elementary schools. We have more than 25 elementary schools. And so my question to them was, okay, if you chose these 25 schools, how are you going to choose them? How are they going to be effective? Because back when I was in school, we had the DARE program where we had police officers came to school and talked about, the ills of drugs and what to do it. So what they're going to do, they're going to now put that money back on to more social workers and counselors. And yes, I do think that's going to help. To me, SROs are being reactive in a school where a counselor, a social worker, and a counselor can be proactive. And that's what we want.
How do you judge the success or failure of what happens tomorrow in Raleigh with you and your cohorts?
Well, it's going to be successful. So let me just go ahead and put that in the atmosphere. Okay, it's going to be successful because we're going to show up in droves and numbers. The success is based on the policy and the budget. And we know that the budget is going to happen after we leave. And so we're going to see July 1st. We're going to see in August what happens. But right now, we are having elected officials go on record saying, I support this. I'm going to do this. And so that's why tomorrow we're going to have report cards on the stage for every elected official. We're going to know who agreed on these five asks. We're going to see who got an F, who got red hearts for education, and hopefully we'll see more red hearts. What's going to really make the difference is that we have to have 61 for pass a vote and 26. We're looking at those numbers to see who votes for what.
Amanda Thompson is helping to regionally organize this march tomorrow. She's a 7th and 8th grade math teacher at Walter G. Byers and a board member of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Education. Justin Parmenter, a 7th grade teacher at Waddell Language Academy, one of the organizers as well. And April Johnson, an arts teacher at Tuckasegee Elementary School and 2018 CMS Teacher of the Year. Stay cool tomorrow, and good luck to you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.